This is a KUNV Studios original program.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
Good morning, and thank you for joining me for The Scoop with Tanya Flanagan. I'm so happy you decided to wake up and start your day with me. Here on The Scoop, where we talk about life, joy, funny moments, trending topics, and so much more. We promise to keep you in the know and find out what you know. So, let's get started. Good morning, Las Vegas, and welcome to The Scoop with me, Tanya Flanagan. Thank you once again for waking up bright and early to join me for a conversation that I hope you will find provocative and informing, as well as engaging. We are closing out Black Maternal Health Week, I should say. And I thought it would be fitting and appropriate to have a conversation centered around just that, culminated or combined with Black health in general for women. So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I am very excited to welcome a young lady that I had the pleasure of discovering just the other day, and she agreed to get up this morning and join me. I'd like to welcome to the show Christy Lee Scott. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for, you know, being willing to share your story with Las Vegas and with me. As I mentioned, it is the end of Black Maternal Health Week, and there's been a lot of focus on that. This week, Vice President Kamala Harris was here stomping for her cause and the cause of the nation, that party, to talk about the importance of health. And for those who know me, they know that my history is, and then we'll get into a bit of yours, and we'll just share this morning. My history is that I'm a breast cancer survivor, and that space as a breast cancer survivor bled into my maternal options. I'm a three-time survivor, so it started in my 30s and went from age 32 to the third diagnosis being when I was 38. And that diagnosis included having to, it was right around the time that I decided I want to be a mom. I think I want to, you know, see what this is like. I thought I'd meet someone, get married, have a kid, or just be that ultra independent woman and have a kid, right? And so I began to look at those options. And just as I was gearing up to get my head wrapped around it, there came the third diagnosis with breast cancer. Uh-oh. Yeah. So I was faced with, and because of the timing of my journey, it's like I had a surgery in July to deal with the cancer, the tumor in my breast on the right side. But all at the same time, I was needing to start chemotherapy within 3 months of the surgery. So by October, I had to begin chemo. So in this short window, from roughly July to October, that short, roughly 3 month window, I had to decide whether or not to start IVF.
Because
literally I had the surgery, I was ovulating, and I had to start chemo. So all of this was happening at the same time. So I also had to decide, who should be the father of this child? Who's God-fearing enough, friend enough, stable enough, financially settled enough, intelligent enough, attractive enough?
Yeah.
You don't want to live on those scary babies. I'm just kidding. But I had to really think, and who did I have a solid enough relationship that if anything happened to me, because there I am, I'm a breast cancer survivor and I'm a breast cancer patient. What if something else happened and I didn't make it to raise my child to 25 or be there till she or he turned 30? Who did I think I wanted to do? All of these questions needed to be answered in a window of 3 months. So I literally really did start the IVF process. And I paid thousands of dollars to think about what I wanted to do because I didn't have time to sit around and think about starting or not starting. So for me, I started.
Yeah.
And it was like paying while going through it. Your ending is much brighter than my ending because you also entered into the space of IVF to have children.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, so, first, I like say congratulations on surviving cancer three times. That's amazing in itself. And you're truly a testimony to people that are going through or that have been through. So congratulations on that. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to have that conversation and to know that you made it through that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you were saying that while you were doing treatment or right after surgery, you decided to start the process.
Yes. So for me, it was, I almost want to like back up a little bit and just, okay, let's take a small pin. We're going to do something a little like not in flow, but that's the quick snippet on me. So I want to tease you. So just lay a little bit out of who you are, and then we'll go like unpack how we line up to be so similar.
Okay. So my name is Christy Lee Scott. I am a mom of twins, by way of IVF. I'm a wife, I'm a mom, and I decided to go through that IVF journey when I was 25 years old. I decided to go through it because I felt like if I got any older, it would probably be harder, and I didn't want it to be a situation where I kept trying, and it wasn't working out because of age. So I decided to go at a younger age or start at a younger age. And fortunately, when I did start IVF, I was pregnant the first try of IVF, which did cost $20,000. But how I began the journey, I have a partner, and my partner and I decided that we wanted to have kids. And I completely understand trying to figure out who the donor was going to be. In some cases, for other people, it's who the father would be if they have that relationship with their friend. But for me, we decided on a donor. We did have a friend that was interested, but legally it would be a little too complicated. And so we decided to go the route of the donor.
Oh, we have to unpack all of this. So that's our thread. We jumped in and we've hit you with a ton of stuff this morning. We're coming to you to talk about, the thread that binds Christy and I is the IVF experience. I had a portion of it. She went the full journey. Both of our journeys were very emotional. I want to like get into pieces and parts because Black Maternal Health Week, it's on the line across the country. There's been some legislation in states down south where they've begun to try to outlaw IVF and take it off the table as an option. And I remember when I was looking at it, I sat down with my pastor, who at the time was Pastor Robert Fowler of Victory, and he's passed.
Oh, wow.
May he rest.
That was my pastor as well.
Wow. And I sat down with him, and I sat because I wondered in my spiritual space whether or not IVF was a faith-based, Christian's reasonable space to enter into. And he sat with me and he said, anything that God gives us the knowledge and the ability to create, that some things that are blessed allow us to bless ourselves through scientific process is not something that is a not of God process. So he kind of basically, you know, kind of put me at ease and said, it would be basically my choice and there's nothing wrong with it or anything spiritually condemning about, you know, this consideration. So that piece of the puzzle was, you know, laid aside.
That's a beautiful blessing from him.
Yeah. So that piece was laid aside. The crazy part for me was that I had to literally, and you mentioned the $20,000. I think I spent about $4,000 because I was paying to think about it. And the thing I think that is so tricky is IVF is completely elective. But for me as a breast cancer survivor, I used to be the president of the board of directors for Susan G. Komen, Nevada, the breast cancer organization. And one of the pieces of legislation that one of our board members tried to work on for another young lady when she was about your age, when she 26, 25, the time you had your child was around the time she was diagnosed with breast cancer, which is very young. And one of her concerns was whether or not she would be able to have children. And so she wanted to see if there could be some type of legislation created to allow for this. And I really believe that that is a space that the disconnect between breast cancer and reproductive options is a disconnect that we really need to bridge the gap on, because there's a connection between when women are pregnant, they breastfeed, right? So if you have a complication with your breast, you're affecting your reproductive space. Yeah. And a lot of times when women are diagnosed with breast cancer, now we have the genetic testing, and that lets you know whether or not you the breast cancer is diagnosed in a single breast, but that genetic test allows you to know at a 90% rate whether or not you're going to be, you're vulnerable to breast cancer developing in your other breast or in your ovaries. That's how you hear about the women who end up having the hysterectomies, right? If I don't have ovaries, I don't have eggs.
That's right.
So now here I am, 25, 26 in her case, facing breast cancer. Or in my case, I was 38 at the time. I ended up not being genetically predisposed, but yet my clock was ticking because my biological clock was ticking out because I was 38, deciding, okay, now I want to have a child, right? But now you need to do now you need to have this breast cancer surgery. You need to go through chemotherapy, and you need to be on oral medication for 5 to 10 years. Well, 10 years later, I was 48. Even at the minimum of 5, I was going to be 43, 44, 45 by the time it all wrapped up. That's a really late age to come back. And then breast cancer treatment can interrupt your body's natural process, and so your ovulation periods may not return. So it just closes the entire window. You never know what's going to happen. So I began to pay for IVF while I was thinking about it. I think I spent like almost $5,000 to think. I've never been so scatterbrained in my life. Like I can remember sitting in the room in a corner, just shaking, trying to figure out what to do, which friend, what to do. And it was crazy. It was really crazy. And my dad called me as I was trying to figure it all out. And I didn't even say anything to him because I never said, "Dad, this is on my mind." And he just out of the blue, like the voice of God, if you will, said, "If you stop worrying about having a baby and just go ahead and take care of yourself, everything will work itself out." And I was just looking at the phone like, who told him that I was worried? Because I didn't say anything to him, but my dad is a really interesting man who has this amazing intuition about his children. And so just like out of the blue, without asking for any help and guidance, he just said, if you stop worrying about it, having a child, having a baby, and just take care of yourself, everything in life will work itself out. It'll do what it's supposed to do. And it calmed my spirit.
Yes. So you paid $4,000 to...
I was getting started because I stopped in the middle because I stopped. So if I had finished, I would have spent the same $20,000, $25,000 you spent because I was staring at a bill of $25,000. And let us say, that's elective, folks. You can't, right? There's no insurance for this. This is something that you want to do. You pay for it. And it's like calling somebody to your house to do work. When you call the plumber or a carpenter or an electrician, you pay him when he comes. You half and half. It's kind of the same situation. But sometimes, like in my case, I don't know if you had time to plan. It was so under the gun for me. So you see what I'm saying? I either had $20,000 or $25,000 laying around or I didn't.
Yes. Yeah. And I can understand that given the circumstances of your health at that time. You want to think about, okay, if something happens, I want to hurry up and try to at least freeze my eggs or do something where I could go back and have that option to reproduce if I want to. Mm-hmm. So I completely understand that was probably a very rushed and, you know, hectic time in your life.
It was.
So I can understand that. I can absolutely understand that. I did have time. I'm a huge planner. I'm so grateful that I was healthy at that time. But I did have time to plan. My situation was I didn't want to have kids after a certain age. I just thought about all the health risks that would come into play, not only for myself, but also for the child. And I know that some people, you know, they don't have a choice. And we have healthy babies that are delivered every day by older moms and things like that. But I didn't. If I had the choice, I wanted to try to do this early so that I had already had some of my own health concern. So high blood pressure is a big thing in my family. Right. Prior to me deciding to have a kid, my sister had just lost her child. And she had preeclampsia, which is when your blood pressure is very high throughout your pregnancy. And it affected the baby and the baby was born, unfortunately, and lived for probably like a day. But this was all because her health was not being paid attention to well enough while she was carrying the baby. And those are things that we really have to, especially Black women, we really have to advocate for ourselves. We really have to, you know, get second and third opinions. And if your body, it's your body, it will talk to you. And if you feel like something is wrong, you have to say something. You have to go and advocate for yourself. Because unfortunately, my sister kept saying my blood pressure is high or my head hurts, like I'm having these bad headaches. And the entire time, her blood pressure was very high in her entire pregnancy. And wow. And they felt like that was overlooked. And I feel like, well, we all felt like that was something that could have been prevented.
Absolutely. It was something that definitely could have been addressed. We talked about this earlier this week. I was part of a Black maternal health panel that was held in the community a few days ago. And the conversation about the care Black women receive compared to their counterparts, the way they're viewed, feeling seen versus unseen and heard versus unheard, is a really big issue. And doctors understanding the culture. But the message was what you just said. You have to advocate for yourself because no one knows you better than you.
No.
No one knows your body better than you. No one knows what you're experiencing more than you do. And if you don't talk about it, when I was going through my journey, I don't care what your health issue is. It's one thing to be going through everything to have a baby. It's high blood pressure, it's diabetes, it's anything you're dealing with, it's breast cancer, I don't care what you are faced with. When you're going through changes, you know that something is wrong before anybody else knows. When I was first diagnosed with breast cancer, I started to develop headaches. And I asked for a baseline mammogram. That was the whole thing, but got it started. I lost my mother at 29. And my aunt on my dad's side passed away shortly after my mom. They both had died from breast cancer that spread to the liver. My mother's also spread to her bones. And it made me want to go and get a baseline mammogram just to have something on the record, to have a sense of, at this point in life, I'm okay. Well, I was 32 by then. My mother died when I was 29. I never thought for a second, except I was having some mind. I started to have these weird headaches. I never thought for a second anything was going to come back at that point.
Mm-mm.
And it did. I didn't feel anything. You know, you talk about the self-breast exams. I didn't feel anything. There were actually three suspicious areas that the doctors couldn't even feel, but the mammogram found it.
Wow.
This
is at 32 years old.
And I was 32.
And can you imagine the threat of IVF? Right now, IVF is being threatened. The entire process is being threatened. But you have people like you that are going through. I mean, you made it through. But there's people right now that are going through similar situations, be it some form of cancer or some type of life-altering medical situation or medical concern where they have to think about maybe doing some form of IVF or some form of fertility security where they can, you know, freeze their eggs or freeze their embryos with their spouse, you know, their husband, or, you know, it's being threatened. IVF is being threatened right now, but there's so many different reasons why people would love to store their embryos.
Absolutely. You know? And from a reproductive health point, we have to fight, because in my case, yes. when my first one, I was looking at potential radiation and taking tamoxifen. And one of my questions to the oncologist was, what will this do to my reproductive system? Because I was 32 and I didn't have kids. And I really thought, oh, this is going to happen. Like, all of these things are going to come to pass. Of course, I'll meet someone. Of course, I'll get married. Of course, I'll have kids. Right. So I asked her, and she did not have an answer, because at that point in time, there were no, again, the disconnect between breast health and reproductive health. There were no studies taking place to take a look at the impact breast cancer is having on a woman's reproductive system. Of course, maybe the reason being is they were traditionally routinely saying start having mammograms at 40. But what happens when you start to get diagnosed younger than 40? What happens when that begins to happen to people? Because that's what happened in my case, and it's happened to other women. They were young.
Yes, absolutely.
But we don't know what these things do. So to take away other choices when you're in the face of it, you can't just say, well, go through this experience, go through your whatever your health condition is, and then wherever you come out on the other side, then you see what you have left and you roll the dice on that. I just think it's so important that affordable health care is available to women, that conscientious health care is available to women, that people dial in. And I say, when they give you something, take a look at that medication. For me, it made a huge difference to study the medication I was being put on, because I needed to understand the side effects. Because when they give you medication, the same medication treats multiple ailments. So you could be getting it for one thing and someone else is getting it for, I don't know, God knows what, gout, for whatever reason, you know? And if you don't know if you don't take the time to learn about what's being given to you, it's much harder for you to realize how it's changing in your body and how it's affecting you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think that it's also important for people, even if they're not going through it or have not gone through it, the threat of reproductive health rights and just reproductive justice in itself is a battle for everybody. I think that everyone should be involved in this fight, because it can affect not just us, but our generations to come. If we don't step in now and, you know, fight for situations, we're talking about a young woman. You started off with breast cancer at 32 years old. And yes, there's other young people, but that is not as, you know, again, you couldn't get a mammogram until you were really 40, right?
Right.
That's when they want us to get a mammogram. But, you know, it can affect it. I think the stats is like 1 in 8 women or 1 in 7 women will get breast cancer throughout their life. I mean, that is a very, very high number.
It is. It's a staggering number. And Black women die disproportionately to others, to breast cancer more so than others. But even in the space of, you know, what you went through, your choice, and this maternal health space, and Black women being in that space and having healthy children, we're, I think it's 3 or 4 times likely to die than white women when we're talking about, but you know, birth mortality. Yeah. It's four times higher compared to white women for us in this state, in our state alone right here, than white women. Black women are more likely to die in childbirth. And I mean, numbers like that are staggering. But I want to also kind of get a little light in here, because you went through your journey and you had twins.
Yes, I did. I ended up having a boy and a girl. And I will say this, I was very vocal, very aware, I made sure I paid attention to everything. If I felt something, I would say something. And, you know, like I said a few minutes ago, maybe it was because of my sister and her situation, her experience, maybe that scared me, because that happened about six to seven months prior to me becoming pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, So I was very, anybody listening, anyone that, even if you know someone that's going through IVF or just being pregnant by itself, you know, you have to just pay attention to your body and your health in general. But so I did get pregnant the first try. I was so grateful because I did not have another $20,000 to even try again.
So let me ask you a question on that, because I thought when they harvested, because when I was going through it, it was about 25, right? But it came with three tries. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, at the time, mine included three times that I could, okay. If the first one didn't take, I would have the option of trying again. I had three tries in this $25,000 space, unless I'm remembering it incorrectly at this point. It's been many years now. But yeah, there were multiple opportunities to do it.
So I guess it depends on the fertility clinic that you're you work with. But I will say this. If you have, once you start the IVF process, there's different phases of the process. So what they first do is they ask you if you want to do medicated or unmedicated IVF. And most younger women are encouraged to probably not even worry about doing medicated IVF because it's a higher chance that they'll probably end up getting pregnant anyway the first try, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're a little older, you want more help. And these medicines that they have are to help you produce more eggs, because every woman, most women,
only produce. Right. A certain number.
They only drop one egg. They only drop one egg per cycle, right? And then you have those women that are anomalies where they naturally, meaning when I say naturally, they unaided pregnancies where they end up dropping two eggs and then they have twins, right? Or they drop three eggs and they naturally have those triplets, you know? So you have some of those women. Every cycle that a woman's body goes through will drop one egg and it waits for the sperm to meet. And so in the case of IVF, I chose medicated. And I chose it because I didn't have more money to spend. I wanted to just make
So you wanted to be, so you increased your chance. Got you. Okay. There is so much. We're getting into the last couple of minutes that we have to talk about this morning. It's crazy how fast time flies when you get into the good parts of these conversations. But mostly I wanted to just have a little conversation about it, because like I said, Black Maternal Health Week was this week. We're closing it out. And I thought it was valuable to bring some attention to reproductive rights, access, choices, awareness, self-awareness, noting that. And also because I think these things should be part of insurance options, especially when there are other factors affecting what's forcing you into this space, because in a way they're not separate issues. If I'm dealing with one issue, then why am I also, insurance is covering my breast cancer, but it's not covering the other thing that breast cancer is affecting. And so that's the crazy part for me, because 300,000 people lost health insurance a few years ago. And if we don't continue to have a democracy, we're looking at 3 million more Black people possibly not having health insurance, or the Affordable Care Act being completely rolled back. And those things are just frightening. But Christy, we're down to the last minute. What I want to say to you is thank you for spending some time with me this morning talking about this really valuable subject at the end of Black Maternal Health Week. And congratulations to you on becoming a mom and on knowing what you wanted and knowing it at such an early age and going after it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And hopefully we have more time next time.
Well, we'll have to come back and unpack a little bit more of this. I'll have you back just to talk a little bit more about motherhood and just self-awareness and the importance of advocating for yourself in a healthcare space. But thank you for sharing your story with me and allowing me to share my story with you. And Vegas, thank you for sharing this time with us and listening in to our stories. Have a great week. And I look forward to you listening in next week at another edition of The Scoop with me, Tanya Flanagan, here on KUNV 91.5, Jazz and More. I want to thank you for tuning in to The Scoop with me, Tanya Flanagan, and I want to invite you to get social with me. I'm on Facebook and Twitter. My name is my handle, TanyaFlanagan. You can also find me on Instagram at Tanya Almond Eyes Flanagan. And if you have a thought, an opinion, or a suggestion, don't hesitate to shoot me an email to tanya.flanagan@unlv.edu. Thanks again for joining in. Stay safe and have a great week.